Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Jake Lyman has departed for the Vanderbilt spring game. Connor Newt taking the helm. Joined with me, as always, is Nick Frazier, Jake Wellman behind the glass. And how about this? Breaking news, obviously, today. Nico Iamaliava is leaving Tennessee. They have parted ways. Josh Heupel confirmed it this morning. And to help us discuss this topic, the one and only host of Stillman & Company, 2 to 6 weekdays, Jared Stillman, is with us. Jared, how are you, sir?
Gentlemen, good morning. I got to tell you, I was really excited to a full Saturday of doing nothing. And then all of a sudden, I saw the Nico news and I saw you guys were on. And I was like, oh, thank goodness we have live programming on Breaking It Down. You guys have been doing a great job. So good to be on the program today with you guys with the big news.
Of course. Well, Jared, we'll start off easy and simple. I saw you posted this on Twitter earlier, but give us your reaction to this news. What is your general assumption of Nico leaving Tennessee, or more importantly, Tennessee parting ways with Nico?
You know, it's funny because there's different reports out there. There's Tennessee decided to move on from Nico, and then I think it's Pete Nakos and On3 that says that Nico decided to enter the portal. Whatever happened, this is a divorce between Tennessee and Nico, and it had to happen. Because after the shenanigans that went down yesterday, I don't think that there was really any coming back from that. And I talked to an athletic director yesterday that told me, they said, if Tennessee renegotiates with Nico after everything that's happened publicly, every single player on the team is going to be lined up outside Josh Heupel's office on Monday asking for their next pay increase, their next raise. And so that wasn't something Tennessee could get into. For me personally, I commend Josh Heupel and Danny White, the athletic director at Tennessee, because since Josh Heupel took the job, the one thing that I have been incredibly impressed with what is this, four seasons he's been the coach now, five seasons he's been the coach, is once he took the job, it was like all the extracurricular drama that Tennessee had had with Butch Jones and then the transition after Butch Jones and then Jeremy Pruitt and Fulmer and all of the extracurricular drama, the bullcrap, that had been stopped. And yeah, you know, Tennessee would have a player get arrested here or, but that happens to everybody. But again, they were really focused on football. And this was kind of, this reminded me of something that would have happened when Butch Jones was the coach. And if Josh Heupel and Danny White didn't put their foot down today and say, okay, enough's enough. We're not going down this road. We're not doing it. If they didn't do that, I think it would have perpetuated a cycle of going back to that drama. And I don't think that's something they want. So my big reaction today is it had to happen. I don't think Nico is that good. I do think this hurts Tennessee right now to not have a quarterback, but I think it was the right decision.
You mentioned it hurts Tennessee. They don't have a quarterback right now. Jake Merklinger is probably the number one option right now. Who do you think they would go to in the portal to go after a quarterback? Would it be a G5? Would it be a team out west in the Power 5? Where do you think Tennessee would start to go after a quarterback?
So here's the hard thing for Tennessee, which is Tennessee wants to probably go out and add a quarterback or two, you know, into the spring portal. And I'm guessing they have an extra $2 million in NIL money to work with, if I had to guess. I mean, I assume Nico doesn't get to keep the $8 million. I think he probably only gets the $4 million that he already got paid. The problem here is this. Tennessee runs a very complex offense. And so if somebody were to transfer in the spring window, which is not unheard of, Joe Milton, for instance, was able to do that and got the starting nod right away before losing it to Hendon Hooker, I think it would be tough to just go take a quarterback and say, okay, now you're going to run Josh Heupel's offense, because it's a very complex college offense. So this is where it really hurts Tennessee. If Nico had gone to them at the end of the year, and this is where Nico messed up. I don't care about Nico wanting more money. The market is the market. And if the money is out there for him, good for him. I don't think he's that good. But at the end of the year, if Nico had gone to Tennessee and said, hey, the going rate is now $4 million for a quarterback. I'm only making two. I think you should pay me two extra million or I'm going to go into the portal. That would have given Tennessee the ability to say, okay, we're going to give you the money to keep you from going into the portal, or go in the portal and then we'll go in the portal and we'll find a quarterback to replace you. That's fine. But Nico, because I don't think Nico is worth the $4 million, Nico's trying to maximize the leverage by hitting them in the spring portal because they don't really have the option of going out and adding a quarterback that can run this offense right away. So I think they really are stuck with Merklinger and McIntyre. And I don't know what their plan was for McIntyre, but I do think they believed that McIntyre was going to be the guy after Nico. So maybe that just accelerates the timetable. I would be surprised if they would be able to get in a spring portal quarterback and have him up to speed with the offense by the time training camp rolled around in July and August.
Jared Simmons with us here on Forest Company. So does that, to you, Jared, does that mean that this upcoming season for the Vols, just look at it as a wash?
Yeah, I think that that's probably where they are. You know, again, with the 12-team playoff, you don't have to have an incredible season in order to get in. I think we can all agree Tennessee didn't have an incredible season last year, and they still got into the playoffs, so maybe they can find a way. But the idea of beating Georgia or trying to compete in the SEC, I mean, it's hard for me to envision that happening with them not having a quarterback. And so I asked this question to Chad Withrow yesterday, because I'm not a Tennessee fan. And I said, would you be okay? Because, again, all the Tennessee fans wanted Nico out yesterday. Would you be okay if this means 7-5? That you're going to have a tough season and you're going to look back on it and say, Nico screwed us and we learned our lesson about NIL and, you know, contracts and things like that. But 7-5 and Jake Merklinger did the best he could. Would you be okay with that? He said yes. And I do think that there's a level of, even though every single day college sports trends more in the direction of pro sports and really in the direction of pro sports without regulation, because there is no collective bargaining agreement, there are very few rules as to what you can and cannot do, it's still college sports for the fans. And I think Tennessee fans feel incredibly disrespected by Nico Iamaleava. And so I think Tennessee fans can suck up a 7-5 season and say, hey, Nico screwed us and we learned our lesson on that. So I do think that if they have a rough season, and it's hard for me to envision them in the SEC not having a tough season without a quarterback, I do think that Tennessee fans will be okay with it. And now I think if you're Josh Heupel, who's had, I think we can all agree, a very successful tenure as Tennessee's coach, this is kind of a house money season. Because if he wins with George McIntyre or he wins with Jake Merklinger, I mean, don't we look back on that and say, wow, what a freaking coach. And he didn't need Nico. So I think this is a great opportunity for Tennessee with not a lot to lose, given the fact that most people, I think, are on their side right now.
You know, earlier in the show, Jared, I kind of hinted at, you know, maybe Nico Iamaleava is the guinea pig for this whole NIL renegotiating contracts and so forth. And I made the comparison later to an example of a wide receiver has the same equivalent value of a free agent wide receiver in the NFL. Do you believe that is kind of the narrative that's going to start transitioning into college athletics?
I think that the narrative's going to be, oh, college athletics is the Wild West, and these players, without the regulations, without the collective bargaining agreement, these players can do whatever. But I don't know how much of this is a college athletics issue and a lack of regulation issue, and how much of this is a Nico got greedy and selfish issue. Because I think, you know, with all things in life, there's what you should do and what you can do. And Nico decided to maximize his leverage to do the best he could do, as opposed to what he should have done, which is been a leader for his teammates, gotten ready for the season, been focused on football, etc. You know, you always hear general managers in the NFL talk about, we want players that love football. And what they mean by that is we want players that are playing because they enjoy competing, not because they enjoy getting paid. We all know there's a business element to this, but ask Tom Brady what's more important, the money or the championships. And so I think it's the quality of person that you bring into your program more so than it is the regulations or the ability for kids to renegotiate or what the market value is. I truly believe that this is more so a, you know what, this guy, his personality, he's not what you're looking for in this era of Tennessee football. And I go back to Butch Jones. When Butch Jones was the coach, they didn't care about the quality of kid they brought in. They just wanted to see the number of stars next to the name at Rivals and 24/7. And I don't even think On3 was around them, but they just wanted to see the stars on that. And then that led to problems. At Tennessee, they bought and paid for this quarterback they thought was going to lead them to the promised land. He didn't, but they thought he could be their guy. And I think they learned, you know what? We need a quarterback who, look, understands his business, and we have to compensate our quarterback to be here, but our quarterback has to want to be here. You know, I go back to what Diego Pavia did last year when they beat Alabama. Diego Pavia went to Twitter and said, hey, anybody with NIL opportunities, hit me up. Here's the phone number to call my rep right now. You know, and then that way, if Gatorade, for instance, wanted to get Diego Pavia to pump Gatorade, then they could reach out to Diego's people and set the deal up. Diego didn't go to Clark Lee's office and say, all right, coach, I need $8 million extra or I'm out of here. Because, again, it's the quality of person that you bring into your program. And I think that for what Josh Heupel has built at Tennessee, Nico doesn't fit that.
Jared, last one for you. Reports are surfacing that Oregon head coach Dan Lanning was the coach who initially contacted Josh Heupel and let them know Nico was sniffing around for a deal. What do you make of that factor playing into this whole situation? And do you think Nico heads out west or maybe finds himself at Oregon?
So I am a big fan of the Oregon football program. Very, very big fan. Dan Lanning is a very good guy. So their offensive coordinator and I went to college together, you know, years and years and years ago.
Wow.
And I think I can say this. I sent him a text last night. I said, are you going to get the Tennessee quarterback? And he didn't text back. And he's a texter backer. Like, I texted him after they lost the Pac-12 championship to Michael Penix in Washington, and in the locker room to text him back. You know, like, we coached horribly today, that kind of stuff. So I reached, I said, you can go get the quarterback. He did not text back. My guess is Oregon is not going to play that game with Nico. Like, Nico showed his ass in this negotiation, and the way Dan Lanning runs that program and the kind of caliber of guys that they want in that program, they're not going to be interested in Nico. Now, I would not be surprised. He has to go to a Big Ten team, right? Like, if you're going to leave $2 million on the table, you're not going to the ACC, I don't think. You got to go to a school that has NIL money, and you can't go to the SEC, so it has to be the Big Ten. I've seen UCLA thrown around as a possibility. I don't know where Nico goes from here. See, here's the thing with Nico. Nico has talent. We can all agree on that, but I mean, is Nico that good? Like, nah. Do you think Nico's that good?
Not 5 million good, no.
I mean, so, like, is it worth it? So you're a head coach, and you know what the asking price is for Nico. He wants 4 million bucks. So now I got to find 4 million bucks. He's going to come in with no spring practice, didn't play with these guys last year. He's going to have to learn a new offense, a new terminology. He's going to have to learn new receivers all in the fall practice period. And then who are we playing week one? We might play Scarbini State week one, and then it's Ohio State week two. That does not seem conducive for success. And again, I know it's happened before. I got it. But I don't think Nico's that good. You know, if Tim Tebow were to hit the portal, I'd say, okay, let's give Tim Tebow $4 million, stick him at quarterback, and let's go. But Nico's not that. Nobody was even looking. Nico's draft eligible next year. And I don't hear anybody talking about Nico when it comes to next year's quarterback class. And I feel like we've done enough talking and digging on next year's quarterback class because of, you know, do the Titans take a quarterback this year? Do they take one next year? And so we know the names, Carson Beck and Drew Aller and Arch Manning, and we don't ever hear Nico's name mentioned with those guys. So I don't know where Nico goes from here, but if I was a coach, I wouldn't want to bring Nico in and then put my job on the line with Nico. And then on top of it, what kind of leader are you getting? Look at what he's doing right now. What kind of leader are you getting if you bring Nico in, when you know this is a guy that if he's, what's the old saying, Frazier? I think you know this. If they cheat with you.
They cheat without you.
Well, I was going to say they cheat on you.
Well, They cheat regardless.
I thought you were going stripper again.
Yeah, you kind of lost.
That was yesterday. Prostitute and stripper were yesterday. If they cheat on you, or they cheat with you, or yeah, if they cheat with you, they'll cheat on you. Like that's so you're gonna bring Nico in. You already saw what he did to UT. You're gonna bring him into your program. So I don't know where Nico goes from here. Maybe Nico develops into a star. I don't know, but I'm not. I'm not a huge believer that Nico's gonna become a huge star here. And quite frankly, if this turned into a DJ Uiagalelei situation where we never hear from him again until 3 years from now, and it's like, oh yeah, Nico, oh yeah, he's kind of sucks, it wouldn't surprise me.
See, I look at it two ways, Jared. One way, it could be like a DJU, or it could also be like a Caleb Williams trajectory. You leave a SEC school in Oklahoma, and you go out west to USC, be resurrected with Lincoln Riley, and just improves his draft stock tremendously. I think if you go to a college out west at USC, you're only going to benefit your stock, if that makes sense. Because a lot of those teams out west, you get forgot about the whole season until your team's 9-3 or 10-2 going into the playoff, and you bring up and resurrect every single national media darling that's like, oh, Nico Iamaleava. Last time we heard about him was in the SEC. Now he's really tearing it up out west. I just think that's the possible trajectory we're going to see with Nico.
So I would feel that way if the competition level that he was going to go to wasn't going to be roughly the same as what he's facing now. Because, again, it feels like he has to go to the Big Ten. And I don't think that these schools in the Big 12 can afford a $4 million quarterback. Maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, to your point, I think of guys like, again, I use DJ Uiagalelei here, but he went to Oregon State and nobody watched him play quarterback. And they said he had a good year at Oregon State. I'll have to take their word for it because I don't know about you, Newt, but I didn't watch any Oregon State football when DJ Uiagalelei was the quarterback.
Not a second.
So they say he had a good year. So then he transfers to Florida State. Now we're watching him again. We're like, oh, no, he still stinks. So with Nico, you talk about, oh, well, he'll go out west and kind of be forgotten, and he'll go tear it up. You know, it'd be one thing if this were Bo Nix, who had had success at Auburn, but, you know, he was in his fifth year. This, to me, is totally different, especially given the fact that he's not going to have a spring practice with all the meetings. It's going to be a new offense with new terminology. Those are hard to catch up on, especially if he goes to the Big Ten and it's like, okay, congratulations, you won the starting job here at UCLA. Week two, Ohio State. Week three, Michigan. Week four, USC. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's going to be tough for Nico. Again, a quarterback who had a head coach that we know wants to throw the ball up and down the yard. It does not matter if his quarterback is Drew Locke, if it is Hendon Hooker, if it is Joe Milton. He wants to throw it up and down the yard. And last year, what did he do? Run the ball and play defense. Because he did not trust his quarterback last year. So Nico's got a lot of progress to make. And I just, again, I'm not convinced that he's that good. I don't think that Nico is the kind of level of player that you sacrifice what you believe in with your program in order to build around. And so because of that, Frazier, I'm not sure we'll ever hear from Nico again.
Good to know.
He is Jared Stillman of Stillman & Company. Weekdays 2 to 6. Jared, thanks a lot for this. This was fun, and hope you enjoy your Saturday and do exactly what I'm doing and not watch the Masters.
There you go. It's a tradition unlike any other, these grown men crying about drinking from a plastic cup with an Augusta logo.
But yes.
I guess that's their tradition. Boys, have a great weekend and a great coverage today.
Thank you very much. He is Jared Stillman, as always. We'll come back, react to what he had to say, and get to your text here on the other side. This is Forrest Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Forrest Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier. Let's give something away, Frazier. Jared just put me in a really good mood.
Let's do it.
Let's win an exclusive Jason Aldean experience. Text in the keyword Jason, that is J-A-S-O-N, to 615-737-1025 and receive a link to sign up for a chance to win all-inclusive tickets to the Eurostow Club at Bridgestone Arena and see Jason Aldean, plus also a chance to win $1,000 cash.
The green stuff.
Green stuff. I've sat in that Eurostone Club many, many times. Good place to sit.
Nice venue.
Nice venue. Good food. Good stuff. Again, thank you very much to Jared Stillman for hopping on with us last night. It's not often Jared takes time out of his day to come on the weekends.
Yeah.
But the news today was big enough to do it, and I took some pretty interesting nuggets away from him. Most importantly, I asked him about, you know, there are rumors and reports that Dan Lanning was the whistleblower in this whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
Jared said he texted Will Stein, who is the offensive coordinator over at Oregon, and he says he's usually a texter back, did not answer when he asked if Nico is a potential target for Oregon. That tells me a lot. That tells me Oregon is not going to play into the whole drama. I don't think they have any interest in Nico. And Oregon has a solid transfer they just grabbed last year. I believe it was the kid from UCLA, whose name I'm blanking on. But they also dominate recruiting and have some five-star
talent
yep. coming in. Sorry, I'm reading these texts.
No, you're good. No, to the point, though, about the whole Oregon thing and the Dan Lanning being the whistleblower, to me, I think it's only just – I don't look at it as Oregon going after Nico. I think it's more of bringing the attention to the Big Ten. I think it's Dan Lanning saying, hey, my college, university I'm associated with needs more attention. And mm-hmm. not just Oregon itself, the brand, the league, the Big Ten, the conference itself needs more attention because – the only other conference, in my opinion, that's competing with the SEC is the Big Ten.
Right.
And the ACC is looked at as the in-law or the cousin that meets them at the Thanksgiving dinner once a year. Like, that's how I look at those top three conferences. So if you go and see if Nico's going somewhere out west, more than likely it's a Big Ten team. More than likely.
I think he has to go Big Ten. Jared pointed out best. Where is he going to go? NC State and the ACC? That is a major step down from a top five SEC program. I think at least if he goes to UCLA, he's getting Big Ten money. He's getting California money. If he goes to a North Carolina school or Florida State or somewhere like that, he's not going to get the money he's asking for. I think the only way he gets his $4 million, maybe his price increases as time goes on in the portal, is he goes out west. He goes to a Southern California or a UCLA or somewhere like that. Texter on our text line says, Mike from Pennsylvania on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com says, I agree. Nico is talented, but after last season, it was eye-opening. Josh had him hand the ball off and play field position. The previous season, he let Milton sling it. Josh 100% didn't trust Nico games. To that, I respond, why should he? I go back to the Arkansas game. Nico had 20 seconds to go win the game. He takes all the time in the world, scrambles out of bounds, games over, Arkansas wins. He's not a trust. He did some freshman things. You have to keep that in mind. I know he was redshirted, and it was technically his second year in the program, but it was first year starting. Yeah. He's going to do freshman things.
First year as a leadership as a quarterback, for sure. And to that issue, Connor, it's to the point I don't think he's mature enough to lead a Power 5 school, or now Power 4 school, to a national championship. And if that's what he wants to do, or if it's more about the bag, that's the decision he has to make as a person. Is it more about the money, or is it more about the reputation and the resume I'm building to go to the next level? And to me, I don't think he wants to go to the next level.
I don't think so either. Judging by what he's been saying the past few days, what his daddy has been saying to the media, about the media, I think he wants the money. And when you chase the money like that in college, you don't take the next step. You don't become an NFL-level quarterback, not at least to the level that people are expecting you to be. When Nico signed with Tennessee, it was like the second coming of Jesus is signing with the Tennessee Volunteers. He underperforms, wants more money, and now the entire fan base hates on him. Maybe for rightful reason, I would probably be in that camp too. I don't think Nico is as good as we ever put him on the pedestal to be.
Right, and I think you could credit Tennessee Vols fans for that. No offense to Vols fans, but every year, I mean, the funny joke is every Vols fan goes, this is our year. This is our year. Like, to some degree, sure, but it's to a smaller degree of maybe it's your year to win the SEC. Maybe it's your year to win 9 games. It's not your year to win the national championship.
It is, in fact, a year.
It's a year, not the year. And I think with the whole Nico hype surrounding this university for so long, everybody got into a trance of like, yes, this is our guy. And then when something like this happens, it's like in WWE, somebody turns heel like John Cena.
Yeah.
You're like, somebody just pulled the rug from under me. I feel like I've lost a family relative. Like, that's what it is. That's exactly what it feels like for Vols fans, I'm pretty sure. And now they're all on the same page of time to turn to Jake, Merklinger?
Mm-hmm.
What a name. Merklinger. I don't know anything about the guy. That's exactly what a Vols fan probably thinks right now.
He got some playoff reps last year.
Is that so?
Against Ohio State.
After Nico's helmet shattered into a thousand pieces.
That's the only thing I know about Jake Merklinger. We'll step aside, come back. I think I'm done with the Nico talk for the day.
Okay.
We've said everything we need to say. We've been on it for about an hour and a half. And my segment has been delayed about an hour. Newt's Notes, when we come back.
Talk to us.
102.5, 106.3, The Game. Forest Company brought to you by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conger. Investment advice for you in the short term and for the future. Let me read this as well. This week's Nashville's best deal is from 12 Stones Crossing Golf Club in Goodlettsville. They offer 18 championship holes spanning over 6,800 yards with the meandering Madison Creek at its centerpiece. Get half off a $50 gift card now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. It's a mouthful, man. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman behind the glass. Newt's Notes. I didn't really have anything planned today. And it's a good thing that happened.
Yep.
Because we spent a lot of time on today's breaking news that Nico Iamaliava is leaving Tennessee to hit the transfer portal. So what we're going to do here is I had question of the day anyway.
Sure.
So we'll just do that.
All right.
All right. Question of the day was, if you could travel back in time to any moment in sports history, any iconic play across any sports, baseball, basketball, football, hockey, whatever you want to do, where would that be? Nick Frazier, go ahead.
I don't know. I've been all over the place about this. I've had a similar answer to this, I think, a couple weeks ago, but I'd probably say 2006, July 9th, Italy versus Germany in the World Cup, or excuse me, Italy versus France in the World Cup. That was a pretty cool moment. Baseball kind of kindles to my brain, but I'll stick with football. I got to witness this in person. I would love to relive it. When Mississippi State beat Auburn to be the first team in the college football playoff rankings.
Dak Prescott, baby.
That was an incredible day. It was a CBS game, a 3:30 game. Something about it. I think I'll never forget this play. It was, I think they're on the 43-yard line, 3rd and 7, I believe. Mm-hmm. And
this was 2014,
yeah.
Something like that.
And Dak Prescott hit Darunya Wilson over the middle for a deep touchdown. And it was just an incredible play. And then it started to rain in the fourth quarter. And I'll never forget Dak Prescott kneeled the ball and just ran towards the student section. That was the same game my brother snuck me into the student section. It was awesome. I was in grade school, I still think. Yeah, I might have been in eighth grade or so. My brother snuck me in. It was probably the best experience I've had.
2013, I was 9.
I had a coffee mug thrown at me.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah, from like the third tier. It was pretty crazy.
But was it something you did?
No, I didn't do it. They just were so excited. They threw a coffee mug from the top tier, yeah. Luckily, it only scraped the back of my head, but it was crazy. So, witnesses.
I have so many. NBA Finals, 1998, Game 6.
So, before you were even born?
Before I was born, Michael Jordan hits the last shot on the Utah Jazz, which he did not push off, by the way, to win his final NBA championship. Michael Jordan's my favorite player of all time. I didn't live to see him, but Michael Jordan is the greatest player of all time. I will fight you to the death if you disagree.
Okay.
That's the first time I think I've heard you speak positively about the NBA in a long time.
The old NBA, I used to love the NBA when I was a kid. I loved Derrick Rose, the Kentucky in me. I loved all of those guys. I loved John Wall, Anthony Davis, all those guys, which is another one, 2012 national championship. I remember it. I was 8, so I don't remember the game much, but I remember watching Dad. One of the few times I've seen him cry, actually, was when they rolled into the bus on Rupp Arena with the championship. That was pretty special. 2011 World Series Game 6. I was how old? I was 7.
Yeah,
but I remember it, and that's why David Freese after that game became one of my favorite players because he wasn't good.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't a great player.
He was your role player.
But he was a hero after that, and I had his jersey, and I remember going to Bush a lot the next year, and every time he struck out on the play, I'll get him next time, David. Non-sports, WWE, I mean, if I could go back and watch Seth Rollins cash in 2015, Money in the Bank, That was my first WrestleMania, I remember. If I could watch that again, that would be, as an adult now, it'd be special. Even John Cena turning heel. That's by far the most shocking. Text on our text line agrees with me. Cody Rhodes returned to WWE at WrestleMania. That pop would have been amazing to hear. That's back when I started watching again. I stopped around COVID because you take away the environment, it's not worth watching.
Right.
But then they went to Peacock and it was free to watch. And I was like, you know what? WrestleMania is on. I'll watch it. And I fell in love with it all over again. So wrestling forever will be in a heart. I'll preface this by saying I was going to rant about how I do not care about the Masters, but that's not fair because I love wrestling and a lot of people don't care about wrestling. Hmm. I know you guys care about golf. Robbie Stanley would probably nail my head to a wall if I talked about how little I care about the Masters, but you guys, you got your thing. Gunner on our text line says Bud Dupree's pick six to win versus South Carolina and knock off the old ball coach at the Commonwealth. He was there in the end zone, second row. Oh, that was awesome. Cubs winning the World Series. We can forget about that one. Kobe's last championship. That was 2010?
Maybe.
Nine?
Eight, maybe. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good time. Jake Wallman, what is your moment?
I have two.
All right.
And so the first one is I've always wanted to see the Music City Miracle live.
Yeah. That one came to mind.
I remember my uncle.
The game where everyone in Nashville was. Apparently.
Yeah. My uncle said that he was watching from his kitchen. Oddly enough, not at the game. And he just remembers thinking, like, you know, they had a pretty good year. You know, first year officially in Nashville as the Titans. And
right.
They had a good year, you know, but they're not going to get it done. And then they return the kickoff back for a touchdown. The most random one, though, we were talking about baseball to open the show.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, going back to see Babe Ruth call his shot in, I think it was the 1926 World Series.
Yep. Roll up in your car with the white wall tires. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd love that. Your little dial radio.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty neat.
I mean, selfishly, if I could go back and just watch John Wall at Kentucky in person, he's always going to be my favorite Wildcat because he was the first one I can really remember getting into. I was six when he was playing, but I remember that team. If I could go back now as an adult and watch him just glide down the floor, that'd be amazing.
I get to witness him one game, and it's honestly the only game I really remember vividly when they played Vanderbilt. I think it was 2011, 2012, and it was DeMarcus Cousins, John Wall versus Vanderbilt and this Kevin Stallings team. I think it was with
09, 010.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And I think John Jenkins was on this team.
Yep.
Jeffrey Taylor.
Brad, they were good.
Yeah.
They were a tournament team.
Vandy was a really good team that year. And all I remember is John Wall crossing up somebody, going in for a layup, and or he was just lobbing it up to DeMarcus Cousins. I'm like, these two guys are legit. Like, it was so much fun to watch.
Day,
it was
favorite.
Popcorn material.
Maybe not my favorite team ever, but John Wall is by far my favorite player to ever lace up the blue.
He's got a song after him.
Yeah, he does. Let's go to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dan is on our line with an answer to our question of the day. Hi, Dan. How are you?
Hey, guys. You were just talking about the Oregon Ducks, but not maybe in a favorable light. But I'm a huge Ducks fan, and I was at the Rose Bowl when it was Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston, and I happened to be surrounded by Florida State fans, and they were so cocky. If you guys remember, they'd won the championship the year before, and it was like 18 games in a row or some nonsense. Mm-hmm. They were so cocky, and to see that fumble and all the things live, the stealth bomber flying over the stadium, it was one of the coolest experiences, top five of my life for sure. I would love to relive that again.
Yeah, thanks so much, Dan. That's great.
I will say he makes a good point about the Rose. I think in general the Rose Bowl.
I'd love to go to the Rose Bowl.
There's something about it, and he's right with the stealth bombers flying over, and especially a spectacle when you have two top teams that at the time it was pick one and two for quarterbacks going into the next year's NFL draft. Like that is something you want to see firsthand. And I mean, luckily for Dan, good for you, man. I would have loved to see that
dream.
In person.
Let me say this. If I threw shade at the Oregon Ducks, I sincerely apologize.
On this show, Dan, if you listen long enough, save the Ducks.
Save the Coach Newt, if you don't know, is a diehard Oregon Duck. He lives and bleeds green.
Green, yeah.
And blue when he goes back to Lexington after he gets bored with the Ducks. But I will never openly speak bad about the Oregon Ducks. I have come to love the Oregon Ducks. I'm not going to claim myself as a Ducks fan because that's not fair. I will always bleed blue. But the Ducks, I find myself rooting for a lot.
Yeah.
So
they're a likable team.
How could you not?
Right? All the uniforms, I mean, and I believe that year, I think Oregon dominated Florida State that year.
Yeah, he did.
Because he talked about the fumble with Jameis and all that. Like, I think it was, they won like 50-something to 21?
That was
21? Let me look it up.
That was 2014. I think they went to the national championship that year, if I'm not mistaken, to play Ohio State.
59-20, yeah, Oregon won that game.
They went to the national championship to play Ohio State, and then Cardell Jones just
unleashed it.
Decided to be a good quarterback.
decided to be a good quarterback.
I'm trying to think of other ones, like Aaron Harrison for me against Michigan.
Yeah.
Hitting a buzzer beater. This is the part where he always hits it. Unbelievable, whatever they say. That would be cool. I'm thinking about ones behind my I'd love to go back and watch Jerry Rice from the 80s. I'm sure that's something Joe would say. Jerry, that whole 49ers squad, like, that's peak football.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never see an offense run like that again, really.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some other ones that come to mind. Not before my time, probably during my time that I probably need to revisit. I mean, everything for me kind of gravitates towards baseball.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have seen in person Barry Bonds.
Oh, yeah.
Just.
Or even go back further, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa.
Yeah. That.
You ever seen that 30
race.
For 30?
Oh, yeah.
That was really good.
I would honestly would love to have seen a true Yankees Red Sox rivalry at Fenway and or Yankee Stadium. Old Yankee Stadium, that is. That would have been great.
Yeah.
Have Pedro Martinez on the mound. Like, the true, like, there was that whole Netflix thing that came out where he's talking about the true rivalry in baseball. I would have loved to have seen that. Like, just, I don't think in today's day and time, we've talked about money with Nico and everything. I think it's so much of a financial security for a lot of these players that they just kind of lose that rivalry aspect. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's not that grit to the sport anymore. But there, some people still have it. Manny Machado picks his fights every once in a while.
And his nose.
That too.
615-737-1025. You can still answer our question of the day. What moment in sports would you like to go back and watch in person? We'll get to some answers on the other side. Plus, we'll make some picks to round out a pretty busy show. That's next. Forrest Company, 1025, 1063, the game. This just brought my adrenaline way down. And now it's back up.
Yeah.
Forrest Company.
It's a roller coaster.
Forrest Company, 1025, 1063, the game. The Braves, the Atlanta Braves, country road trip, is coming to town and teaming up with the Nashville Predators and 1025, the game. Join us at the BetMGM Sports Lounge in Bridgestone Arena on Wednesday, April 16th for a Braves watch party as they take on the Tampa Bay Rays at noon. There will be awesome giveaways like a chance to win Braves tickets to a game of your choice every 30 minutes. Plus Braves hats, t-shirts, and autographed baseballs. The first 15 people in the door will win a pair of Preds tickets to that night's game. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events. All right. This has been a busy show.
Indeed.
Let's go very, very quickly. Picks. Speaking of the Preds, Preds, Golden Knights, Jonathan Marchessault's return to the, I believe it's called the Palace, something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Something that's
something
night-worthy.
Nighty. Yeah.
I'm gonna go with the Knights. I think the Knights win. Sorry, Preds. I think the Knights win 4-2, and I think Marchessault gets on the board, and Forsberg has the other.
Okay, Jake Wallman, Preds or VGK as they call him.
I'm gonna go with the Knights as well. I'll say 3-2, but I like the idea that Marchie gets a goal in his return to Vegas.
Yeah, I love Jonathan Marchessault to get a goal tonight, or at least a couple of assists. I'm going to go Preds here. I think the road to 30 wins is alive and well, and they need to win two of the next three to win to get there. Plus, they're locked in as the third worst team with the third best odds to land the number one pick. They can't, nothing they do will hurt them. So, give me the Preds. I think they squeeze this one out. I'll say 4-3.
Oh.
It's going to be a high scoring game, I think. I don't know why. Just
feeling it.
Gut feeling. Yeah. All right. This goes against pretty much everything I say. Let's pick a Masters champion, shall we?
Give me back-to-back Scottie Scheffler.
Scheffler?
Yeah, Scheffler.
Scheffler.
Yeah, I think Scottie Scheffler, even though he's, what, third or fourth in the rankings right now, I mean, you have other guys above him like Rory and DeChambeau, but there's something about Scotty. Even though yesterday he had a horrible round, he finished even, which is crazy. He had like five bogeys and five birdies, and he ended up being even for the day. So I'm going with Scotty.
Jake Wallman, give me a man that putts balls into a hole. To wear
yeah,
a
there's
green
kind
jacket.
Of a log jam with a lot of people tied for fifth. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Justin Rose.
Ooh, okay.
The leader. He hangs on and wins the Masters.
Wow, that would... As I understand, I've been told he is a perennial choker. So maybe he gets it done this year. I'm going to go with America's Patriot.
Ooh.
A true-blooded American. I'm going to go with Bryson DeChambeau.
Mr. Live Golfer.
Live Golf. I'm going to go with the enemy, but also a Patriot. Give me Bryson.
If my memory serves me right, he would be the first Live Golfer to win the Masters.
Did Koepka win it?
I take it back. Yeah, he may have. Never mind. My memory's not great. So continuing with our picks. Excuse me.
Yeah, because Scheffler won it in 22.
Yeah.
Koepka in 23, I think.
Let me look it up real quick.
And then Scheffler in 24. There's probably some old man yelling at me right now.
That'd be Robbie. Yeah. He's not an old man.
Joel has corrected me on our text line. It's called the Fortress, not the Palace.
The Fortress.
I was
okay.
Close.
I was about to say, wait a minute. So, okay, what you got for a third one? Is it a wild card?
Well, we're already over anyway, so let's do it. Wild card, just go for it.
Okay, I'll take Nashville SC. They'll rebound tonight against Real Salt Lake. Say they win 3-0. 3-0.
3-0?
Yep.
I love how soccer calls it nil.
Yeah, 3-0. I think this team needs a good rebound win, and they need it bad because they need to get up in standings pretty quick.
All right.
Connor?
Nick Frazier taking Nashville SC. I'm going to go over to the NCAA Men's Hockey Championship. Boston University in Western Michigan. I think Western Michigan locks down their first ever NCAA title in program history.
Okay.
If you guys didn't know, that's called the Frozen Four.
The Frozen Four, yep. Yes.
What you got, Wallman?
The Braves, the Rockies, and the White Sox are all tied for the worst record in the MLB. Braves need a win tonight to stop that streak. Let's go Braves.
Okay.
Let's go Braves.
All right. That'll do it for us here on Forza Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Stay tuned. Got a lot coming up. Vanderbilt spring game coming up. That's where Jake Liebman is headed right now as the official sideline reporter. He does a lot for the Cats, I hear, though. Preds in action tonight. Pregame begins at 8. Puck drop at 9 as they take on the Vegas Golden Knights. Max Herz will have that with you. But as for now, for Connor Newt, myself, for Nick Frazier, for Jake Wallman behind the glass, this has been Forrest Company on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
See ya!